Item 3 is a closing of part of Chief Peguis Trail west of Willems Lane for incorporation into DAS 15 of 2009 under file DAC 6 of 2009. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will be heard at the same time, namely, Item 4, an application for a zoning agreement amendment for 60/70 Willems Lane under file ZAA 3 of 2009. Item 5, an application for a subdivision for 60/70 Willems Lane under file DAS 15 of 2009. And Item 6, an application for a variance for 60/70 Willems Lane under file DAV 115953 of 2009D.
All right, the applicant is listed as W. Keith Rankin. Mr. Rankin?
My name is C.L. Chappell from Aikens. I'm the solicitor for the applicant and the owner, Devonshire Properties Limited. Mr. Rankin is here, and he will take over the presentation. Mr. Chairman, I may have some remarks in rebuttal.
All right, we have your slip here. And Mr. Rankin is going to speak now, Mr. Chappell?
And Mr. Klein is my co-counsel, Mr. Chairman.
All right. All right. I see. Okay. Just go right to the microphone there.
What? I can't hear you. Well. Yeah.
Okay.
Good evening.
Could you state your name and address for the record?
Keith Rankin. Address is 103-7 Evergreen Place. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, you may recall we've appeared before this committee with this application on previous occasions. I think the last time we had an opportunity to speak was in November of 2008. And with your permission, I could maybe speak for a few minutes to bring all of us up to date about our experiences over the last few months and what we've done that brings us to this application one more time. You may recall that I guess it was November the 12th, we brought an application forward for the construction of property, of a development on this property. It was heard by this committee, and there was quite a bit of dialogue back and forth. The application had in mind to construct a phased multifamily construction project on land, basically on the north side of the existing property. The application was heard here, was defeated, and the application was overturned subsequently at the Property and Development Committee. We were surprised by that, didn't understand it ourselves. The application thereafter was headed towards Executive Policy Committee. We withdrew it prior to it being heard by Executive Policy Committee. We withdrew it really at the suggestion and request of the City of Winnipeg, and really what was on their mind was that there was so much controversy surrounding the application and the procedure through which it went that they wanted very much, and we agreed, that we try to reestablish, frankly, rethink the site and reestablish a more consultative and open procedure engaging the neighborhood and the residents of the neighborhood and the residents of the existing apartment building in this activity. That, of course, gave rise to a lot of dialogue back and forth amongst ourselves and back and forth between the city. But we did agree, and we subsequently determine, well, we really felt it best that this transparent review, if you like, should be undertaken by an independent source, not by me, and instead someone who has really no stake in the outcome of the proceedings. And to that end, we engaged in conversations with a company called Placemakers. Placemakers is a company which has offices in Winnipeg, as well as in Miami and in the United States elsewhere, I think in Chattanooga, Albuquerque, and Atlanta. We had discussions with Hazel Boris, who is the principal, her residence is in Winnipeg, and she agreed to take this project on and to undertake meetings on the project's behalf with the residents, the neighborhood, and the residents of the Edgewood Estates complex. Hazel Boris has agreed to join us tonight, and she's seated in the front row and has agreed to make herself available should there be any kind of questions about her participation or how the undertaking took place. And she I think, could be helpful in guiding us all through the whole process. But suffice it to say that she agreed to take this on, and we agreed to cooperate and to help where we could. But I attend these meetings for the most part as an observer. Hazel and her colleagues conducted four separate meetings initially with the residents of the Edgewood Estates property, the rental tenants, and then subsequently with a more mixed group that engaged some of the property owners, the residential single-family property owners in the adjacent neighborhood, and finally with a group that combined all of them together. I attended these meetings, if you like, as an observer. These were meetings in which we were taking notes. We were listening to the concerns that the residents and the neighbors had. We were recording them, and we were trying as hard as we could to understand what we could do to compensate or help everyone involved come to a better and more clear understanding of their needs and see if there was, in fact, an opportunity to compromise. This is quite different than the kind of meetings that have been conducted for this property before, where we would act upon the directions of our clients, and we would propose a building to take place on the property, and we'd present it to the neighborhood as something that we wanted to do. Quite different this time. We were coming forward with really a blank sheet of paper and asking everyone what their concerns were. Now, of course, we've been through a few of these meetings before, so suffice it to say we had a fairly reasonable understanding of what the nature and the concerns that everyone might have for developments like this. But I tell you frankly, it was a good process, and we did learn a great deal more than I thought. I think it's a process that should be endorsed by everybody who tries to undertake multifamily development in a kind of an infill environment, because they almost without exception tend to be controversial. While all this process was underway, we undertook to re-examine the site. Really what we had in mind here was to see if we could identify locations on the property which held out some opportunity or some chance for compromise based on our understandings of the concerns that we knew about before and the concerns that we were hearing about from these meetings. And with your permission, I'd like to just, I have some exhibits that I'd like to offer to you and some that I could stand up. I've brought smaller exhibits along that I could give directly to the counselors and a larger one that I could lean, I guess, up against this table so that the audience can see it, but it'll explain what was on our mind. Mr. Chairman, can I just walk over and... Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. What you have in front of you and what the audience can see is an aerial photograph of the property. It shows the condition as it is today. We've taken the liberty of adding numbers to it. You'll see the numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4. What we had in mind when we were doing this was to treat those as potential sites that could serve for an expansion to the property. Let me just tell you what was on our mind. Site number 1 is an existing 12-story apartment building on the property. We had it structurally re-examined and looked it over as carefully as we could with our engineers and determined that we could add 5 floors to that building. There are some pluses and minuses that accompany that kind of thesis, but what we had in mind was that if we were to build on top of that building, we could reuse existing foundations and existing structure. We would not be damaging any landscaping. We'd be putting a building on top of a footprint that already existed. And the views to and from the windows of the existing apartment building, the first 12 floors below, would be unaffected by this. The negative things that are associated with it in our mind was that it's a very difficult and awkward kind of construction procedure. The elevators, for example, only go up to the 12th floor. They'd have to be extended up through 5 additional floors to 17. That's a very difficult thing to contemplate and do. As well as that, there's fairly extensive air handling and mechanical equipment on the roof, which would have to be disabled or disarmed throughout that process. And lastly, but certainly not least, we think it would be not only a difficult construction procedure, but it might also be dangerous. There's residents living, of course, on the top floor of this building. The procedure involved adding to it would see us with heavy equipment, crane equipment, lifting large pieces of precast hollow core and precast shear wall slabs. And there'd be residents living on the top floor during this period of time. We might have to vacate the top floor or take special steps for it. But it was one possibility because it allowed us to increase the height of the building and gain some additional yield without really disrupting the rest of the property. It would make that a 17-story building, but a 17-story building is permitted by the zoning on this property at this time, and there's already an existing 17-story building on the property. Site number 2, if you're familiar with this property, there's a little 3-story link building that joins the 2 existing towers, and site number 2 contemplated that we would demolish that link building and replace it with another structure. Again, the positive news we've kind of felt was that it would remove an existing link building that doesn't function very well. If you're familiar with the property, it's really a 3-story building, which it's call it a 4-story building, in which the ground floor is open to allow traffic to pass underneath it. It creates a condition in which there is no meaningful entry lobby to the buildings, and there's disruption for wheelchair access and vehicles. There's a mixture of vehicles coming and going all the time at this property, and by redesigning that to provide a new common area lobby and link the 2 buildings together, we would solve all of those problems at one time. Additionally, of course, site number 2 is already an existing footprint that's already developed, so it does not displace any existing landscaping, and it could be designed so that it protects and does not interrupt views from the existing apartment buildings. And thirdly, I guess you'd have to say that it would be a building which would be sited further away from our existing single-family neighbors to the east than is presently the case. And you may recall at the last public meeting that was a cause of some significant concern, that the proposal in front of us at that time did build buildings somewhat closer to the single-family neighbors. So that site number 2 was under consideration, and frankly, it still is. Site number 3 is really the same as site number 2. Site number 3 is an existing 17-story building, and our structural analysis indicates we could put 2 additional floors or a maximum of 2 additional floors on that building. Same problems. Elevators have to be extended up. Mechanical equipment has to be relocated and redesigned. There's some element of risk adding to the top of an occupied building. And the opportunity to do that while it exists and it's costly, the yield on it, if you like, is only 2 additional floors, so it's not quite as popular an opportunity as site number 1 would be. Site number 4 is the last one that we are presenting to you tonight for discussion, but Site number four contemplates that we would build a new building at the north end of the existing 17-story building up against the property set aside for the right-of-way for the Chief Pegwas Trail right-of-way system. The existing site is presently occupied by a large surface asphalt parking lot. So some of the benefits by choosing that location are, once again, that the site is disturbed now with asphalt surface parking, doesn't require the relocation of any landscaping. It's sited much further away than any of the other buildings from our single-family neighbors, and could be designed so that it does not interfere with the views that are already available both to the river and to the easterly direction from the existing building. That site number four, the way we have it configured, does require that the City of Winnipeg make available a small strip of land to the north, which is part of one of the applications that you see there. To the north of site number four is an existing very large sanitary sewer interceptor and siphon structure, and it travels from the east to the west and then travels underneath the river. It's very large. It's about 7 feet in diameter, and it's a huge capacity interceptor sewer taking material not only from Kildonan but I think parts of Transcona as well. So our boundary on the north is limited by our proximity to that sewer, and that's been worked out and agreed to with underground structures and Public Works Department. So I say to you that we have these four sites that we decided to have a look at the same time as this review process was taking place with Hazel Boris and the Placemakers people. May I walk over again and show you what we chose to do? Do that, and yep, one each of these. Yeah, thank you. The if you're looking at the site plan that displays two blue structures, that's the that represents the footprint of the two buildings that we're proposing to proceed with. For reasons that I sort of explained earlier, we rejected site number one because of the degree of difficulty and, frankly, the risk involved in it. We accepted site number two, the demolition of the little three-story building. We rejected site number three. Once again, that's building on top of the 17-story building. And we accepted site number four, the construction of a new tower wedged up against the Chief Pegwas Trail. They've been sited such that they, again, to not repeat myself too much, but they've been sited to preserve to the maximum extent possible the views both to the river and to the east from the existing buildings. They've been sited to stay out of the park reserve, which is the boundary, I guess, to the west. They've been sited to preserve the windows. I'm sorry, sure.
Yeah. He keeps putting your mic up because you're not talking into it properly. So would it be helpful if you just lean into your mic?
All right.
Just pick your microphone up and hold it sure. While you're talking. Thanks. There you go.
Is that better? Okay.
That's better. Thank you.
Sure. Okay.
Fred just went here for a minute. He'll be back.
I'll go quickly through it again. If you recall my conversations about site number 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. We reject site number one because of the degree of difficulty and the risk involved in it. We accepted the idea that we could build site number two because it allows us to greatly improve the entrance to the existing building, clean up a lot of really unfortunate architectural conditions at that location, and provide us an opportunity to do a building which still preserves the views east and west from the existing tower, and it sites the building such that it's further away from our single-family residential friends to the east. Again, we reject site number 3 for the same reasons we rejected site number 1. And lastly, we propose to try to build a building on what we called earlier site number 4. Site number 4 is a tower which has been, you can see it shaded in light blue. It's been tilted away from the existing building, again, to allow us to preserve views from the existing buildings and maintain a building footprint that's as far away, in fact, further away from our single-family neighbors to the east. That's the direction in which we've chosen to proceed, and the application before the city is reflected on the drawings that you're seeing there. The city drawings contain a little bit more detail on what the internal floor plan layouts look like, but the I can assure you the footprint of the building is the same. I've given you an image, a perspective image, that kind of gives you a view of what it looks like. And Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'm just going to put that up on the easel so that everyone else can see it. Thank you. That is an aerial perspective view. I'm sure you can recognize it, but it's taken looking in a westerly direction on the right-hand side of the drawing. You can see the Chief Peguis Trail Bridge. You can see the river beyond. The two existing buildings have been displayed on this rendering as, if you like, a semi-transparent ghosted image so that you can appreciate how the two proposed new structures interface and interlock with the existing buildings. The buildings increase in height as they travel from the south to the north. The existing building on the south, of course, is 12 stories. The link building, I guess we've come to call it, is portrayed here as a 15-story building, and it's designed to provide up to 205 new apartments, and we think of that as phase 2 for this project. The next building is the existing 17-story building, again traveling from the south to the north, and the final building is what we think of as phase 1, and it's drawn on this perspective drawing as a 22-story building housing up to 198 individual apartments. Also of some interest on this particular drawing, may I point out that some of the debate that we had at our last meeting about the riverbank pathway has now been accepted by this proposal, and we've sketched it in on this aerial perspective. The reality is that we won't know specifically where that path is going to be until further investigations with the Parks Department have taken place. They have been on the site, and we've given them a site plan with a grid so that they could do a test stakeout, and I believe they have some opinions about where they'd like to put it. But you may recall at the last meeting there was some resistance to participating in that. There no longer is. We're happy to proceed with cooperating with that undertaking. Also, Mr. Chairman, may I also remind all of us, you recall the debate about the gated community last time we spoke? We've abandoned that idea. This project has fencing on it, but the fencing is, I think, what I would call sensible fencing. There's fencing to screen a service and garbage court off of Willems Lane. There's some fencing, decorative fencing, at the front yard, and there will be fencing to separate this building site from our neighbors to the east on Tamarind Drive. That fence, to some degree, already exists, but portions of it could probably use some rehabilitation. Another small part of the application, this is in the detail department, but there is a public lane traveling in an east-west direction behind SR Avenue that you can see on this perspective drawing. I don't need to spend too long on this point, but that public lane is a dead-end lane as it's presently configured. The City of Winnipeg has asked us in previous applications to have a look at providing land to them to enable the public lane to be extended in a westerly direction to allow its exiting out onto Kildonan Drive. And that's displayed on this drawing, and it's also displayed on some of the City of Winnipeg material. So when you read the material about a land transfer, really what's happening here is that the city has asked us to provide sufficient land to allow this lane to be extended. For the last 35 or so years, people have frankly been trespassing across the Edgewood property, and the City of Winnipeg's been plowing it, delivering taking up garbage, and has been treating it as though it's in fact a public lane when in fact it's just not the case. This will allow that situation to be rectified. The last time we spoke to you at the previous meeting, there was an undertaking to reconfigure the existing cul-de-sac and to relocate it. That, again, is not required by this application. The access to the property is unchanged, and we're just leaving that completely as it is. We think of the project as two phases. Mr. Chairman, phase one is the most northerly building. We think that that will consume 18 months, perhaps 20 months, depending on the extent to which we can utilize some precast technology. We expect there will be a pause between phase one and phase two. I'm uncertain about the length of that pause. But phase two is a more difficult construction project, and frankly, there's some more homework that needs to be done. The footprint of that building interferes with some elements of the common area for the building, the swimming pool, the running track, some of the lounge areas, and certainly the parking lot. We've done enough homework to understand that it can be done, but there is more work to do. So the expectation is that we would proceed as promptly as possible, granted with approval from your committee, we'd proceed as promptly as possible with the phase one undertaking. We asked for a height variance for phase one in the expectation that it's the location on the property that least affects anyone. Height permitted on the property is 150 feet. That's a roundabout way of saying 17 stories. We're seeking permission to build that to 22 stories, given that our neighbor to the west is the river, our neighbor to the north is the bridge. We're not interfering with any of the glazing or windows on the existing 17-story building, and we are further away from the residential neighbors to the east than any of the existing structures. So it seemed to us an opportunity to recover some density opportunities and allow us to step down the heights of the Phase 2 building. So the building configuration steps. It comes higher as it travels from the south to the north, and I can tell you that we've had some subsequent meetings with the residents and tenants of Edgewood Estates. My sense of it as we went through it was that it was, I'd hesitate to call it positive, but I must say to you that we were happier with the responses and the answers and the dialogue that we were getting in discussion with the tenants. They became, I think, more focused on the reality that something we were going to try to cause something to happen. They were, I think, pleased, or maybe grudgingly pleased, that the site plan had moved so far in their favor, that their views were protected, landscaping was protected. And the shift seemed to me to be more focused on amenities that might be available in the new building, and we have a significant shopping list of new amenities, and they were quite pleased to learn that. Additionally, there were a number of people who wanted to know if they could be given priority opportunities to move into the new building, and there was quite a lot of dialogue and discussion about that. I can't tell you that the meeting with the neighborhood single-family resident owners was as smooth as that. They continued to be concerned about development of any sort, I think, on this property. They're worried, as always, about traffic consequences and the length and duration of construction. They wanted to know, was Wellams Lane wide enough? And the answer is yes, it is. Is the infrastructure within Wellams Lane adequate to support this project? Again, the answer is yes. Was there any opportunity that their tax bill might go up if we had to add infrastructure? The answer is no to that. They were otherwise greatly concerned, I think, with the amount of traffic that might be generated by this proposal. If I can just do a minute on that. This property is, I think, unique amongst a number of multifamily developments that you might look at. Over the years, that Edgewood Estates has been in place, the population of the buildings has gradually and significantly morphed into a seniors-dominated population. And the applications that we have to move into the building and the new buildings continues to follow that mode. We don't see much opportunity for young professionals with school-aged children to become occupants in this building, although I confess it could happen, but we think it highly unlikely. This goes at some of the concerns people have about traffic and the consequences of traffic. The seniors-dominated age group in this building do not make use of vehicles in the same way a lot of other people do. They do not load the streets at 8:30 in the morning and 5 o'clock in the evening, traveling back and forth from occupation locations elsewhere in the city. To the extent that they use vehicles, it tends to be in off hours. To a large degree, they make use of the Edgewood Estates shuttle that takes residents from the building to a number of locations around the city. And the Edgewood Estates people have agreed to maintain and expand the use of that shuttle facility. And for a lot of those reasons, the traffic studies that have been done before always indicated a very low incident or impact of traffic-related concerns on the Wellams Lane property. We have now done 4 traffic studies on this property. The last one was done just in the last 10 days to 2-week period. The City of Winnipeg didn't require that we do this property again for traffic analysis, but we chose to do it on our own initiative so that we're able to come here tonight and say essentially that to you. The traffic study has been completed. It's been circulated to the City of Winnipeg. It might have just gotten there lately, so I'm uncertain if you have copies of it, but I have brought copies with me today that I can give to you. The executive summary really is that there's virtually nothing changed. The delay anticipated at the intersection of Wellams Lane and Henderson Highway is in the 2 to 3.5 or 4 second area, and that's largely driven by the reality of the aging population within the complex and the way they use vehicles. It's not like 400 new people hitting the road at 8 o'clock in the morning to go to work. It just couldn't be further from the truth. And there was other concerns that are also traffic related. These substantially had to do with the opportunity for any vehicle accidents or vehicle pedestrian accidents. The traffic studies have all looked into that before, and they did again this time, and they report that the incidence of vehicle-to-vehicle accident and vehicle-pedestrian accident is less than half of the norm for intersections of this category. There's no recommendation to change signalization or turning or delay times. It's completely within norms that are accepted by the city. Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to walk over and hand to you copies of the report. One each, I guess. Keep one. Mr. Chairman, in addition to Hazel Boris's presence here tonight to help us through what she did at these meetings, Mr. Bill Cavanaugh from Dillon Consulting has agreed to join us, and he's seated in the front row. He's the author, substantially, of the report that you have in front of you, so he's agreed pardon me, to make himself available to respond to any questions that you might have, or your decision, sir. You may choose to ask either of them questions at this point in time if you choose to. He can, or alternatively, sir, I was going to suggest that he could be delayed to participate in answering questions that might come up from the neighbors.
If he came forward now.
All right, that's fine, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Bill? That one work? Sure. Mr. Chairman, did you want to direct questions to Mr. Cavanaugh?
Or maybe he can speak to his report.
Certainly.
Since we've just seen it.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, switch on the top there. There you go.
This is an update of the previous...
Could you state your name and address?
Oh, sorry. Bill Cavanaugh. I'm employed by Dillon Consulting. I'm a traffic analyst. And
address?
200-895 Waverly Street.
Thanks. Sorry, go ahead.
The report that you just received is an update to the two previous reports that we had done, one in 2007 when the first application was put out. That one was subsequently updated in 2008 for the previous application, and this is a further update. One of the things that we did find was, as Keith Rankin mentioned, was that the increase in traffic would only amount to 2 to 3 seconds of delay overall at the Willems-Henderson Highway intersection. In the morning, in the a.m. peak hour, delays there only increased by slightly over 1 second. In the p.m., delays increased 3 seconds. We also did look at the collision data, and I would correct Keith's comment. The collision, we obtained collision data from the City of Winnipeg. Over a five-year period from 2002 to 2006, which is the latest collision data that's available from Public Works, There was 64 collisions. That corresponds to a collision rate of 0.77 collisions per million vehicle entries. The citywide average for that type of intersection is 1.0. So it's three quarters of the city average. The city considers a trigger of 1.5 collisions per vehicle million vehicle entries as the trigger to investigate for mitigation to see if or what can be done to improve safety. Of those 64 collisions, one involved a pedestrian. That corresponds to one collision over the five-year period, which is identical to the citywide average for pedestrian collisions, one every 5 years.
Let's hear his presentation. Go ahead.
We did not find that there was any significant impact from the Willems Lane. In fact, our original study that we did in 1990, since then, the collision rate, the traffic volumes have decreased. In 1990, in the original study, the Edgewood Estates building was a general apartment building. It is now targeted to an older population, and the generation rate for trips for that category, or though that demographic, is roughly one-third that of a general apartment building. So in some cases, the traffic volumes are just coming back up to what they were in 1990. In some cases, they are a little higher. But they are close to what they were in 1990.
All right. Did you have anything else? Is that... I spoke to your report. Okay. Councillor Bawadi has a question. Councillor Bawadi.
Thank you very much. Would you agree with the notion that today, during the p.m. rush hour, a lot of the delay turning onto Willems Lane from Henderson Highway northbound is in fact caused by vehicles queuing in the median lane, starting at Springfield Road, already trying to get into the proper lane to make the turn onto Chief Egwis Trail?
Yes, I would.
Would you anticipate with the extension of Chief Egwis Trail that's proceeding that less traffic would be using that section of Henderson Highway and needing to queue up that early? In fact, getting onto Elms Lane would actually improve with the completion of Chief Egwis Trail.
It does to some extent. Our report also did look at the effects of the extension of the Chief Egwis Trail. Overall, the traffic volumes on Henderson Highway in between Chief Egwis Trail and Springfield did only decrease by 10%. What it was a redistribution of traffic. It does improve the northbound left, but it, other directions may be hurt.
Councillor Thomas, you had a question earlier.
Yes, I had a couple of questions. I was pleased to see that this community would no longer be gated. I think that's a positive thing. I don't feel that we should be starting doing gated communities in the city. We don't have any now that are gated, and I don't want to see a start. I'm also pleased that this will no longer be blocking the bike path, which is something else that I was quite concerned about. But I had a third concern, which you haven't addressed to this point, which is the building seems to not be in the same place, but I was concerned about shadows cast across the Chief Egwis Bridge. And the street leading up to the bridge. Now, in the past, there was a shadow analysis done. It wasn't done. It was done at a very strange time. But I wanted to know the most critical times, which is from March through to December through to March again, to have a shadow analysis of this building and whether it would cause a permanent shadow across the bridge. I'm particularly looking at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. traffic, because the traffic goes across there at 80K, and I don't want them slipping on a permanent shadow caused by the building. Can you tell me if anybody's done a shadow analysis of that new building and whether it creates a permanent shadow over the trail?
We had done shadow analysis, but I must say to you that the shadow analysis had more to do with whether or not these buildings contributed shadows to our residential single-family neighbors to the east, and the answer is they don't, because they're further north than
right.
The existing shadows. But to help us all through that, the existing 17-story building casts a shadow across the Chief Egwis Trail Bridge as it is and has done for the last 35 years. The addition of a new adjacent building, even though it's 22 stories, has no particular difference. The 17-story shadow would arrive there at the same time as the 22-story shadow. The 22-story shadow would, of course, be longer and would extend out into the riverbank during into the river body during the period of time you're concerned about. So yes, there is a shadow that will be across the bridge as a result of this, but it's not greatly different than the one that's existed for the last 35 years.
It was a comment that I made the last time,
mm-hmm.
that there was a shadow analysis done, and it was on the residents, and I wanted a shadow analysis done on the Chief Egwis Trail, and I was very concerned about those particular times, and now I don't see any shadow analysis. And you're telling me that there is now a permanent shadow, and this will create an even bigger and longer shadow. And that's the whole point, is we have an 80-kilometer roadway, And if it's in permanent shadow, and if you're making it bigger, so there's a longer portion that's in permanent shadow,
it's really not.
It's going to create a bigger problem.
I understand what you mean. It's not the length of the shadow. I suggest to you, it's all it has to do is be long enough to interfere with or cast a shadow across the right of way. And the existing 17-story building has done that for the last 35 years. The fact that there's a 22-story building associated with it doesn't change that reality. It just means that the shadow becomes slightly wider, but a great deal longer. And the length of it is not material. It's only the portion that crosses the right-of-way that would be of concern to you.
Well, that's exactly my point.
Yeah.
Is it's going to be longer. It's going to be for more time. And I wanted to know how long and for how much time. Because if it is in permanent shadow and it creates an ice patch across the trail and you're going 80 kilometers an hour, then you have a problem. And it was very important to me that that be done. And you're saying that there is, and that wasn't done before, the shadow to the south and to the east was done, but it wasn't done on the north, and I said that I was very concerned about that because the shadows do go to the north because the sun comes from the east and goes around to the south and ends up on the west, and the shadows go to the north, and that's
right.
Where the bridge is.
That's right. No, I understand that. I understood everything you said. And yes, there will be a shadow cast by the new building across the bridge right away, very similar to the one that is already there and has been there for a long
yes.
time.
Yes, and it'll be bigger, and it'll be...
It will be somewhat wider.
And it'll be wider. And I want to know how big, how wide, how long.
Well, we can tell that to you if you like. I regret I don't have that diagram with me this evening. We could certainly prepare it for you, but...
That's it.
I don't think
that's my question.
Greatly material to the performance of traffic on the bridge, that's all.
Are there any other questions? Mr. Rankin, is there anything else you wanted to add?
Just a few things, please. To a great degree, the concerns that we would hear expressed by people who had concerns about this project had to do with traffic. And I had some emails from residents of SR Avenue, which I returned, but their emails, I think, exhibited some mild misunderstanding of what was going on. They were concerned that this project would somehow add to the traffic load on SR Avenue, and that's not the case. The design of this project relocates the garbage and service area from the south side of Edgewood Estates to a new service court that's accessible off of the end of Wellams Lane. So service traffic that used to travel east and west down SR to serve the Edgewood Estates property will be discontinued. So there is no more garbage vehicles doing that route, and there is no access from Kildonan Drive onto the property other than emergency access to maintain the dike and things like that, but there's no common access. And one other thing, if I might, on the issue of traffic generation and why it's so low, I mentioned to you that the seniors' population within this building is greatly contributing to that. There are 160 vacant car stalls in the building as we speak, which I think is indicative of the very low use that people put to vehicle use on this project. Our expectation is that it's going to continue in that vein, and so part of the application that's before you seeks an opportunity to provide less than the typically required parking, and that's, I think, self-evident on this property. When you have 160 vacant car stalls over such a long period of time, it makes relatively little sense to add more cars. But I otherwise agree with the concerns that some of the neighbors had. More cars, more parking, more problems. But you got to appreciate the nature of the people who are living in this building and who want to live in this building. And lastly, I know there are people who want to speak to you, some in support, a great many probably in opposition to this, but I'd like to say to you that we have a list, which I brought with me, and I'll leave with you, but the list totals 694 individual names, people who want to be part of this community and are seeking an opportunity to do just that. Just if you can get that off and leave one with me. Thank you. These are people, by the way, who are from the immediate and nearby neighborhoods, Kildonan, East Kildonan, and some cases St. Paul. They're not people from Fort Garry and St. Vitale or Toronto or something like that. They're legitimate citizens who want to be part of this community, and it's probably indicative of why owners see this as an opportunity they'd like to pursue. Vacancy in the city of Winnipeg for good quality rental is about 0.9% at this time, and I believe
it's less
than that.
Excuse me, Mr. Rankin. We can't hear you.
Sure.
If everybody can keep it down. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. I'm about to wrap up. I'm just going to say that vacancy for high quality rental accommodation is about 0.9%, 0.9% in the city of Winnipeg this time. I believe it's closer to 0.5 in this particular neighborhood. It's a very strong demand, and I think the list of people that we presented to you who want to participate in this community would indicate that. So in short, I don't know. I think had a very good public process. We listened to everybody. We've made some significant changes to this proposal, which I think benefits the neighborhood and still find some opportunity for compromise to allow it to proceed. With your permission, sir, I could step aside. We could let others speak, and we could return to help us all through the rest of this process, if you like.
Okay. Are there any other questions? No, see none. Thank you very much, Mr. Rankin. Thanks. Thank you. And if you could, I don't know if you filled out a slip as well. Did you fill out a slip, one of these?
It's in there for information purposes.
Oh, I see. You're under information. Okay, we'll catch you that way. Okay, thanks. Okay. I also have in support Brian Klein. Okay, so you just wish to be registered in support, Mr. Klein? Okay, thank you. Mr. Chappell, you've already indicated your support. Did you wish to speak or no? This is your chance to speak. Are you the applicant? Are you speaking? Okay, so you're going to participate with Mr. Rankin at the time? Is that what you're planning? Okay. All right, registered in support, Dennis and Pat Potoroka. Registered in support, do you wish to speak or just to register in support? Registered in support, thank you. Carl and Audrey Felsen. Carl and Audrey, registered in support, do you wish to speak or just register in support? All right, if you'd like to come forward to the microphone, please. If you could state your name and address.
My name is Carl Felsen. We currently live at 47 Matinee Bay.
Okay.
We've been living in this neighborhood for since 1969. Prior to that, we lived on Don Robin Avenue in East Kildonan. I also was employed at E.H. Price, by the way, for about 38 years. We now reach the point, you see, in our life, you know, where we like to move in an apartment. And we've been trying for a long time. And we also know, you see, there is such a pent-up demand, especially in North Kildonan, that it's getting almost ridiculous. We have neighbors that had their name on a list for 4 years, and they're still waiting. So my point is, something has to give. Something truly has to give, because nothing is happening in North Kildonan. You know, anytime a proposal comes up, it's just overwhelmed by opposition, and most of the time, the opposition doesn't even make sense. You know, it's very much exaggerated, and like Mr. Rankin pointed out, and through the studies of traffic, the only problem that I really can see is the course of construction. Obviously, nothing will happen, you see, if you don't have construction, right? So it's only a natural thing, you see, that you're going to have about a year and a half of little bit traffic, which is construction traffic, construction noise, but that is the price of progress. So all I can say is we desperately need apartments in North Kildonan. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Felsen. Is Mr. Jerry Green? Mr. Green, you wish to speak or just to register in support? Would you like to speak? If you can go to the microphone over there. If you could state your name and address.
Hey, it's Jerry Green, 574 Edison Avenue. I am one of those 694 people that are on the waiting list for an apartment. This is the fourth time that I have been on a list where the apartment or the development has been stalled or canceled. I support the previous speaker. There is nothing available in East Kildonan, North Kildonan. I would be welcomed in Fort Garry, St. James, River Heights, but not in North Kildonan or East Kildonan. I've been here for 60 years. I was in the community when it was mud. I'd like to stay in the community. I don't want a condominium. I don't want assisted living. I'd like a rental apartment. And I don't want to leave the community. And I really support the adventure that has been presented tonight. I think there has been significant compromise. And I think it's time to say, let's go, let's get a building, and let's get some apartments in this community. Thank you.
Okay. David Ketcher, would you like to speak, Mr. Ketcher? Register in support. Okay, thank you. Sigrun Bailey. Okay.
I just want to thank the developer for considering the walkway along the river or the bike path, whatever you'd like to call it. It'll be a multi-purpose trail, I take it. And I'm really pleased that that was recognized. By the way, I'm at 11 Roselawn Bay, and my name is Sigrun Bailey, and I'm also representing the River East Neighborhood Network Trail Committee, which is the various bike paths, trails, et cetera, in the area. And I've lived in the area for close to 40 years, and I also recognize the need for progress, for more development in the area, and also housing for seniors. It's a very popular area for that. So the only suggestion that I would have, the request that I would make, is that other than the people being considerate of others, is that security fence that is put in be something that is not a solid fence, that it can be, that you can see through it so that people have their view, but also that people on the riverbank feel secure and they're not blocked off by a solid wall. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Irene Groening. Irene Groening. Just you wish to register in support? Okay, all right. Sophie Turco, in support. Okay, is there anybody else who I have not called out who wishes to be registered in support? If you please, again, you need to fill out one of these slips. Is there anybody here that I did not call the name for? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to move on to those registered in opposition. And again, if you wish to speak, you need to come forward to a microphone. And there may be questions following. I'll ask councillors after everybody speaks if there's questions. And councillors will often come forward and ask me to ask a question. So as well, if you've heard something that's already been said, you don't necessarily need to repeat it. You can just indicate that you're in opposition. Darka Brzezinski, sorry. Do you wish to speak? Okay. Just when you're coming forward to the microphone, if you could please watch your step. Take your time. It's not a rush. It's not a race. Just watch yourself coming down the stairs. Don't want anybody to fall.
My name is Darka Brzezinski. I live at 1 Tamarind Drive. I have a vested interest in this. Although the presentation said that they had had people come out to the community and speak and contact people living in single family dwellings, I live on the corner of Tamarind and Wellams. We're one street before the apartments. No one came. No one contacted us. We saw nothing. Your pictures and slides, although they may be very nice, they really aren't displaying anything to anyone sitting more than 10 feet away from the presentations. And so quite frankly, I'm not very clear on what you were presenting up there in terms of your pictures. The shadow across the bridge is a major concern. There's lots of icing on that bridge as it is. I know I cross it at least twice a day. You know, we're all very modern here. There's a projector on the table. There was no reason not to have a PowerPoint presentation. I would suggest that everyone knew that there was going to be opposition, and the presentation should have been a little more professional. And I would suggest to you that the processes that I have heard put forth by the presenter are as flawed as their presentation was. There were things missing, either on purpose or just because of lack of time. I just don't feel well informed, and I feel like there are things that are being hidden from me as a member of the community. Thank you.
Are there any questions, Councilor? Do you have any questions? No? Okay. Stacy Gottfried and Ronald Albert. Stacy Gottfried and Ronald Albert. Okay, if you'd like to come forward. And maybe just to save time, I'll call the next name just to let you know. Mary Oliver, if you can kind of get ready if you wish to speak.
Hi, my name is Stacy Gottfried, and I live at 122 SR Avenue. I also was not informed of any meetings other than this one, so I would have gone, but I did not know about it at all. These are some of the things that I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the traffic increase on SR Avenue. I don't know if there are seniors or no seniors in this apartment building or whether they have cars or not, but there's going to be possibly 400 more vehicles. That's a possibility, and they will be going down SR Avenue or other streets, which is going to mean a great increase on Willems Avenue and SR Avenue and back lanes. I'm concerned about the children that go to the school on the corner and the traffic increase and how that may affect them, make it more dangerous for them to be crossing the street. I feel that this is the area that the presenters want to develop the apartment buildings in is a small area with dead-end streets. This is already highly densely populated as it is with the apartment buildings and the people that live there in the homes. And I don't feel this is the place for more apartment buildings to be developed. I suggest they take their developments elsewhere. I'm also concerned about the damage to the river and the loss of possible green space. I suggest that environmental assessment be done. There's deer in the neighborhood. This year there were a group of about 7 deer, and there's many species of birds as well, that the traffic and more people could directly affect. Another thing is that the apartment building that's going to be very close to Chief Peguis Trail, a lot of the apartment blocks will be above Chief Peguis Trail. It may be very noisy for the people that are living there. Let me see. And also, there hasn't been any talk, or maybe I'm not able to see the pictures, but where will the parking lots be? Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me, Ms. Gottfried. Either, so just if I could just let everybody know when you're speaking, if you just don't leave the mic right away, because the councillors might have a question. Councillor Bawadi has a question for you, Ms. Godfrey. If you could come back to the microphone. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ms. Godfrey. My question was, I don't know, if you mentioned you weren't aware of the open house, and I, again, I don't know, have you seen the report online that's been up regarding the traffic and that? My question is, why do you think that there'll be additional traffic on Esser Avenue because of this project?
Because there's just 3 streets that people can enter this area or exit. That would be Litz Place, Willems Lane, or Esser Avenue. And If I was living at the apartments and the traffic on Wellens Lane happened to be busy, I would go down Essar Avenue or I would go down this place. So there's going to be all these cars that need to get back out to Henderson Highway, and not even taking consideration getting them into the area, but also getting them out. And that's why I think there's going to be more traffic.
Do you think people use Essar as a cut through today, or Litz Place today as a cut through? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. And I'm taking. You're speaking also for Mr. Albert as well. Okay. Thank you. Mary Oliver, and just to let the other person know who's next to be called, if she wishes to speak, Nicola Alberto, just to be ready, Nicola, if you wish to speak. No? Okay, don't want to speak. Or Elizabeth Palmer would be the next one. So, okay, go ahead, Mary.
You're speaking so much about the traffic at the corner of Wellams and Henderson Highway, and I'm saying the same thing practically that this former lady said. People aren't going to necessarily, they want to skip that corner. So people are now coming from Edgewood Estates down Appleton and out Essar, or down Appleton and out Litz. They're deliberately avoiding Wellens Lane and the Henderson Highway. I do it myself when I want to land on Appleton. So I don't think just a study of what happens on the corner of Wellens and Henderson Highway is what you need. And have you done a study, too, of who lives in Edgewood Estates, people-wise? Are they all seniors? What percentage and so on? Now, there was some, but we couldn't hear that much of the presentation. Again, I would criticize the presentation that it was very difficult to follow, and my husband says I have ears like a cat, so if I didn't hear it, I'm sure a lot of people didn't also. And you say seniors. My husband and I are both seniors. We have two cars. When you say you're going to have 400 new people there, what makes you think that nobody's going to have a car, that the 126 spaces are going to be adequate? Some seniors are busy people. I live on Appleton, as I say, and we have, along with Essar, a whole new community. When I moved on to Appleton, we had a lot of little kids, my daughter included. Then we became senior citizens and there were no children. Now we have lots of little kids. And I'm really concerned with the people who are going to come off Edgewood or any other place, go roaring down Appleton and take Essar or Litz. As a former school principal, I think our kids are the first priority for me. And I don't think they're safe. It's bad enough now watching the kids, and they do want to play. They play street hockey on our streets. The little tricycles, the three-wheelers, are going up and down the streets. Two little boys were on my boulevard having a pretend race, a little black guy and a little white guy, having a wonderful time. If one of them tripped, he'd be on the road. Well, you're asking us to bring a whole lot of traffic in, and I don't think it's making it safer for our children. And I care about the kids.
Okay. Any questions? No? Okay, thank you, Mary. Nicola Alberto, just register in opposition. Okay. Elizabeth Palmer, then followed by Shannon Kipling. Elizabeth Palmer, register in opposition. Elizabeth Palmer? No? Okay. Shannon Kipling, register in opposition. Ms. Kipling? Okay. And just to let you know, the next person is V. Shemkar, 167 Essar, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Kipling.
Hi, my name is Shannon Kipling. I'm on Donwood Drive, right behind the Zellers and Safeway. I have kids that do attend the school on Mullins and Henderson, and between 8 to 9, you see 27 kids at a time crossing that road, and it's continually for the next half hour, so same hour at 3 o'clock. The other point I have is the shadowing on the bridge is a big concern. The black ice that could happen through those months of winter and early spring. The school traffic would be a big concern for me. I average like between 90 days of that intersection at Henderson and Willems Lane. There is between 1 to 2 accidents in a 90-day period. The fence at the McDonald's is bashed out. There has been numerous repairs of the intersection lights. There is no, I think photo camera would be a good thing to maybe lobby for, to have an actual account or accurate account of what kind of traffic activity and how often accidents do occur there. And as far as the waiting list for apartments or people or residents, it shows that people are here for a long and healthy lifestyle in this neighborhood, and to have to say you're waiting 4 years for a spot or vacancy, that shows that there is some sense of commitment to this neighborhood and the people and families that live here. I believe that should be first foremost. There is this is the fourth time this has happened, and it's like it's, if this was the double lane on Disraeli Express, maybe it would be more mediaized, because I've tried to ask my neighbors around the complex, you know, do you know about this meeting? Do you know about this meeting? It's like, we don't really know. We're not well informed. Your presentation is very ineffective. We can't see it or hear it at times. So I just would like to point that out. And I'm opposed to the production of these apartments. And if I could bring 600 letters of signatures of people that would oppose it, I would have, in a sense of bringing the letters for residents. I would do anything just to not have this open. I don't see how people could want to live in skyscrapers when they haven't planned that in their future. So why is it happening over and over again? I don't think this is a skyscraper community, so why doesn't it just move itself out someplace where skyscrapers will be accepted? Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? No? Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Ms. Kibling. V. Shrimkar, are you here? Do you wish to speak, or are you here in opposition? No? Okay. B.G. Garak, you're here? No? Okay. Frederick Lewis Ulrich, do you wish to speak, sir? Okay. If you can go to the microphone, please. And the next person is Rose Lawrence. If you can get ready, you'll be the next called.
I think that some of the other speakers have talked about my issues and very well. So what I'm concerned about is the report did not...
If you could talk a little closer to the mic, sir, I'm sorry.
Thank you. What I'm concerned about is the presenters did not talk specifically about SR Avenue, and there's a lot of concern about this because of the nature of the road. It has a little two dips in it, and it dead ends into Henderson Highway. And Henderson Highway is already the longest parking lot in Manitoba at some times during the day. And you get all that traffic ending into Henderson Highway, and they have to make a right turn. And there's a stoplight right there by the bank within 30 meters. So it's an impossible traffic situation. And I don't care what the traffic report says. We live on the ground with it every day. So, but my concern is, why doesn't he mention the impact on the lifestyle and traffic of SR Avenue as a central part of his report? He neglected to do that. Also, Lintz and Appleton, he left those out of his report, and I think that's a serious flaw in his report.
And you're at 75 Esser, correct?
I'm against it.
What? Yeah, 75 Esser?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. It's just Councillor Thomas quite rightly reminded me that if everybody could just state their name and address when they come to the microphone again. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you. Rose Lawrence. Rose Lawrence, register in opposition. No, not here. Frank Brzezinski, do you wish to speak, Mr. Brzezinski? Okay. Register in opposition. Thank you. Eleanor Nickel. Eleanor Nickel, do you wish to speak, Ms. Nickel? If you can go to the microphone, please.
I live on 70 Tamarin Drive. I would like to say it's a big improvement from the last time what we saw, what you wanted to build there, but some things were not clear. It's how many suites you actually would have there and where the parking would be. And also, I'm concerned about the traffic when you come along Henderson Highway and want to cross when you pass Springfield Road. It's already so congested that you often have to wait for the light to change again because people come from Springfield Road onto Henderson Highway, and it's really congested. So that part worries me. And perhaps if they do this, and perhaps not go quite as high with the second tower, that would make more sense, is that there wouldn't be quite as many cars. You know, that would be my suggestion.
Okay, thank you. Are any questions? No? Thank you. Ollie and June Helston. And the next person I'll be calling is Terwischa, E. Terwischa.
Thank you. My name is Ole Helston. I live at 192 Welms Lane. I would like to say there's no doubt in my mind that we need more apartments in North Kildonan. But, you know, we have a city of 650,000, maybe 700,000 people, and we are a very big city area-wise. Why do you want to put so many people in such a small area, served by only one road coming in and one road coming out? It's different if it was, for example, like the Tuxedo Towers, where you are surrounding the towers with major roads. Here, there's only one road in and one road out. And I would also like to make a comment to the gentleman that mentioned that he has heard so many ridiculous things against this development. Well, I live, as I say, on 192 Wellams Lane, and I think the traffic study done is rather ridiculous. You know, I try to get out of my driveway now. Is it going to take 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds longer? No way. It's going to take a heck of a lot longer than that when you see a car coming up reasonably close and you can't back out. Of course, that's, you know, I'm unique in that I'm maybe one of 10 or 15 people living on Wellams Lane that is concerned about this. Also, the other day, I got my property reassessment, and I was shocked. And I'm just wondering if I could sell my home even for two-thirds of what it's assessed at after the towers go up. And let me also tell you, when I moved in 30 years ago, my real estate agent told me, don't worry, Edgewood Estate is finished. There will be no more apartments coming up. And I know there have been people here that have letters stating that fact from the city, but of course we are told what happened 30, 40 years ago is no good anymore, which I think is nonsense, and I think a lawyer would say that's nonsense too. So I don't know what, like obviously the property value is going to go down, and I'm amazed that a study hasn't been done by the city so that they can tell us the truth. It wouldn't take very much effort to have a professor that teaches municipal affairs or something like that do a study. It should also say something to you when you councillors, when you come to a meeting like this and you see six or eight people that are against this, that are for this proposal, and so many people against it. And I know people, friends of mine that live in the area, they're given up because they say, why do you want to go to this meeting, waste the whole evening when it's a done deal? And I would like... And I am concerned about the school also, because we have cars parked in front of our property every afternoon when parents are picking up children. Where are they going to go to pick up their children? Maybe over in Safeway's parking lot? You know, there's a real problem with the school. And the gentleman, and I don't know him from Price, they were talking about schools too, but I mean, this is such a busy corner. And I know, Chairman Wyand, according to a letter dropped in my mailbox, that you were interested in an underpass or overpass further down, you know, because of problems on Gateway or Raleigh. Well, I think this is a much worse intersection here. When I go home now, I often make a right turn into Safeway parking lot so I can cross Wellams Lane. I don't have to make a left turn. That takes forever. To conclude, I went in on the City of Winnipeg website tonight just to see if they had a mission statement. Well, they have something called a vision statement, and it reads as follows. To be a vibrant and healthy city which places its highest priority on quality of life for all its citizens. Well, I think the people living in my area, the quality of life is going to go down. Just as the price of our homes, I think, is going to go down. And why am I concerned about that? Because I'm retirement age. I'm 66. And if I want to buy a condo, then I need the equity that I have built up for working for 45, 50 years. I need the equity, and I can't afford just to take two-thirds of the equity. That should be common sense. Please, please, keep our beautiful neighborhood the way it is. We don't need city buses. We don't need a garbage truck transferred from SR. We're going to have enough problems. We have enough problems. You represent us. And please listen to the mission, to the vision statement that talks about the quality of life for all its citizens. This is such a vast city. Move it somewhere else. Somebody suggested at the last meeting to do a land transfer. Do that. We need apartments, I know. I'm not saying we don't, because we certainly do, with an apartment vacancy rate of 0.9. That's terrible. But we don't have to put everyone together in one small part. Nowhere else in the city is it like that. And I corresponded with John Winthrop, he wasn't really that helpful, I would say, but I went several places myself to see if there's anywhere else in the city of Winnipeg where it's like this. Yes, but they have major roads that you can go in and go out. Please listen to the citizen of this area. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Helston. June, are there any questions? No. Thanks very much, Mr. Helston. June Helston?
I actually have very little to add to. I came late for the meeting in the first place, so I didn't actually see your presentation. And I wish I had, because I wanted to see what the difference your current vision of the apartment block complex is as compared to your previous one, because I sent a major long letter to all the councillors, the press, the whatever, about the original one, which, as far as I was concerned, had major flaws in that for kids' safety, for traffic, for there was no environmental impact on the, as far as I could see, riverbank, we've got, it's well known that bits and pieces of the Red River take away bits and pieces of the riverbank, so has a study been done on this particular area? And I don't know if it has or not. I don't know if that ever came up. But anyways, I don't really have a whole lot other than to say, other than the fact that the people who have spoken before me are correct in that there is a major traffic jam at Henderson and Wellams. There are a lot of children running back and forth all the time. There are people parked up and down. Yes, there is a problem with U-turns at that corner. It is basically our answer to Confusion Corner for North Caledonia. So those are some of the major problems. The environment, the trees that were going to be cut down originally, I don't know how many are going to be cut down this time around, and the fact that it is much higher than any other apartment block in North Caledonia. Why do we need a 20-odd apartment block? You know, there are other apartment blocks. They are like 10, 12, 14 stories. I mean, that makes sense. But we don't need something that is the same height as the Richardson building at Portage and Main. So, anyways, I'm very much in opposition to this apartment complex.
Thank you. Any questions? No? Thank you. E. Tawrischa, register in opposition? Okay, thank you. Kenji Ulrich, do you wish to speak, sir? Okay. If you could state your name and address for the record. And just to let the next person, Maria McMurray, will be the next person called. So.
My name is Kenji Ulrich. I live at 75 SR. And my concerns are, you didn't go into much detail about the supposed service back lane that would connect Wellams and SR. Like, you went into absolutely no detail at all. Like, can you give us some specific details? Like, are you paving it? Will it be a major lane that will really connect it? What promise can you make that it will only be the service back lane? Your word, that's not good enough for me. What can you do to back up your claim that it's that your apartment complex is mostly being inhabited by senior citizens? I'd be interested to hear from somebody who lives in the current apartment complexes who are against this, hear if they can back up your claim that it's mostly predominantly senior citizens. And if this development does sadly go through, I'm wondering if you can back up your claim about the seniors and make this apartment complex only senior citizens, make it a senior-only complex. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ulrich. Maria McMurray, Ms. McMurray, and the next person will be called up is Terry Lynn Strand.
Hi there, Maria McMurray, 49 Appleton Street. Appleton has no sidewalks. Zero. And we've already heard a number of times how many kids are playing on that street, so on and so forth. And my other point is actually a question. How many times do we have to do this?
Okay. Are there any questions? No. Terry Lynn Strand?
Hi, Terry Lynn Strand from 110 Wellams. In answer to, can they restrict tenancies to seniors? No, that's against human rights legislation. So if you've got that as a hope, not going to happen. A couple of things. Traffic, I would add to, I've been taking notes, I would add to the concerns on traffic on Litz and SR. The gentleman that cuts through the Safeway parking lot, you guys need to be in that parking lot. It's crazy. You're cutting into the Safeway parking lot. You got the Domo there. They're coming out from gas. You got the CIBC here. They're coming in this direction. There's going to be collisions there. We are forced to do that because there is a waiting list. If you've been down there lately with the construction, that one lane that's going over to Chief Peguis, the wait has made us all wonder what's it going to be like when we've got 400 more suites there. I wasn't really particularly reassured by the applicant's suggestion that, you know, seniors are driving off hours, school, lunch hours, off hours, kids are crossing there, off hours, school lets out, off hours. You know, again, it's the safety of the kids there. And there are more and more younger children in this neighborhood, which is great to see. I can say that backing out of my driveway at 110 Wellams Lane, I got clipped. And yes, high snowbanks, you can't see what's coming. That's what happens. In the morning, trying to get out of there can be difficult, especially in the wintertime with the high snowbanks. We've talked about 400 more suites. That's a lot. I think personally, the developer is, you know, I feel, whether it's accurate or not, there's some sense of vengeance here. You know, he keeps coming back and there's more and more suites each time, sticking it to us a little bit. And I think, quite frankly, going from 17 to 22 is just greedy. I don't think that's much of a compromise. And 400 more suites also means that there is visitor traffic on these streets as well. It isn't just the residents in the blocks.
We all have people that come to see us. The 600, I would love to see that list of 694 people. It was one of my questions that I regretted asking at the last meeting was, and there were much fewer people there that were on a waiting list for those apartments. My question at that point now, or then and is now, how many of those 694 people are already residents of the current apartment blocks where we heard a great deal of concern that they are not upkeeping, they are not maintaining those apartment blocks? So I certainly can't blame people for wanting to jump in into a nice new building. I don't know what the rents will be. They may change their mind if the rents are going to be much higher in a new facility, as I think they would be. So I'd be really curious, and I would suggest that you take a look at that list carefully. My last comment is respect to land transfer. I ask the councillors here today, has there been discussion respecting land transfer? Have you looked at other alternatives to this?
Are you asking us a question?
Yes.
We're here to listen to you.
I'm asking your councillors today.
Make a note of it, and we'll ask the administration when we have a chance. But
okay.
This is a chance for you to speak, and we may have questions of you after your presentation.
I would like to know that. If the councillors working for me have really done their jobs and have explored other options, and if you have not, I would suggest that you do your jobs and that we get a little bit innovative and creative and that you give that information to us. I would be very happy to have an answer to that.
Are you finished your presentation, Mr. Mayor?
I am, thank
you. Okay, any questions?
Yes, Jess? Okay. I just want to jump in here because there seems to be a misunderstanding about the role of a counselor in this process. And we are a semi-judicial body, so we have not been involved with dealing with the developer or making any assumptions about where we want this to go, because we're here to listen to both sides and make a decision based on all public information, which is why you can't phone us the same way you can't phone a judge and say, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. So no, we have not been involved with making those kind of assumptions, and we're not going to be. That's not our role. Our role is to adjudicate here your concerns, their proposals, and the administration may have been involved in those discussions, and we can definitely ask them that, but we've not been involved. Okay?
Well, thank you.
And we can't be.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I would simply urge then, whether it be city administration, anyone, that you're looking at other alternatives. I would certainly hope that somebody is exploring that, because people are feeling like this is a done deal, especially after the process of the last meeting. We made it very clear, and it was a real slap in the face when we spoke for nothing. And I don't think that feeling has quite gone away at this point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Carolyn Elder, and then the next, Ismael and Lucilo Lontaggio, but Carolyn Elder.
Okay, most of my concern. Oh, Carolyn Elder, 42 Appleton Street.
Thanks.
Most of my concerns have already been addressed. Thank you, everyone, for being so succinct. The only thing I'd like to add is I really have trouble with the traffic analyst. How can someone say that you're going to add 400 apartments, I'm guessing pretty close to 400 cars, and I'm going to be waiting 1 second longer at an intersection? Are you honestly telling me that there is going to be one car in front of me? Are 400 apartments sharing a car? It doesn't make sense. How can you guys not question that? How can you let someone give you a traffic analysis like that and just not ask questions about that? It's ridiculous. That's it.
Thank you. Ismael and Lucila Lontaggio, registered in opposition. Sorry if I pronounced your name wrong. Are you here? No. Madeline Anderson, registered in opposition. Okay, thank you. Ruthann Shahadek, registered in opposition. Thank you. Barb Durham, are you here? No? Okay. Terry Durham, is you're in opposition, not here. Randy and Alwyn Willoughby. Okay, sorry. And Kim and Randy Hawkins are next. So, hi.
Hi, Randy Willoughby of Two Tamarind Drive, along with Elvina. And indeed, many people have already said, okie dokie. Many people have already said things that certainly have been on our minds and on our hearts and so forth. We were only aware of one invitation by the developer to come out here, so I'm not aware of other such events. While we can appreciate the need for apartment buildings and so forth, there is a 4 acres on the other side of Main Street, just north of the Chief Peguis Trail, and I'm not aware of any development proposed for that 4 acres. So what I am suggesting is that there are some alternatives, and I hope they would be explored.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? There was also Alwyn Willoughby. Do you wish to speak? I'm sorry. Thank you.
I don't really have much to add except to maybe reemphasize that we are very concerned about the value loss of the property value that although I moved into that house with my parents in 1975 or 6 thereabouts and grew up there and married and moved away, came back and bought the house just last April. We've lived there a year now. And all we've done is come to these public hearings, you know, to try and preserve the value that that we put into that house. You know, we're really, really concerned about the traffic, the noise. Our house is situated so close to the street. Well, the sidewalk is barely 9 feet away from our family room window, and with people walking by, it's already just barely, bearable, and for the privacy and the loss of privacy that we're going to be experiencing with adding 400 more, suites and people to the street. So that's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any questions? No. Kim and Randy Hawkins.
Councillors, Randy Hawkins. I live at 157 Willems Lane. It's also my fourth time here. There's always been opposed to it. We built a new home in 2002. It was all based on no future development. There's been numerous things that we've talked about tonight that has been mentioned that I won't get into. But on the third meeting, that was the meeting of April 8th, of getting to know your developer, we asked placements, if Devonshire would consider with a proposal of making this development fit into our community, because we thought that this was going to be a whole meeting of compromise when we went to that one. So I went up to and asked them the questions that they would even consider of half or three quarter of the 300 suites and making parking fit, possibly taking a look at different alternatives in regards to bringing traffic in off of Chief Peguis. Now, that may cause a lot of other problems, maybe lowering a fence down, coming in, putting up putting something up that where you could gate it off so that so much construction traffic wouldn't go down Wellams Lane, making sure that no buses were implemented into this new development, because that would only increase. Now, would you mind if I ask the question, are buses going to be introduced into this? Like, is the bus loop still there? Because that wasn't mentioned tonight.
We'll ask the question of the developer and also of our administration before the evening's out. Thanks for raising it.
Okay. Yeah. The response to just those three questions was a complete no. And as you can see on their presentation tonight, what they've proposed to us is the relocations for good visual in this development, but there's been really nothing to show us that this fits into our community. All of the traffic issues, all the numerous other issues that have been mentioned tonight, I would like the councillors to take a really close look at what they're proposing, because this hasn't changed. And so based on that, I hope you take a look and see that it doesn't fit. And what you denied last time is the same proposal, just relocated buildings as far as I can see. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Are there any questions? No. Thanks for your presentation, Randy. Does Kim want to speak as well?
No, but I do have that. I haven't been answered about the buses. Are the buses still going to be in a bus loop here?
We'll raise it at the end of the meeting before the evening's out. We'll also ask the developer that question when he comes back and responds.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. S. Edward Ermit. Mr. Ermit. And there's a Phyllis Ermit. Phyllis? Okay. And the next person is an L. Perper.
Hi, L. Perper, 214 Leatherwood Cove. Oh, I'm a born and raised East Goldona, North Goldona girl, so I know the area well. I'd like to voice another concern about safety. Last December 9th, a van crashed into the traffic signal box on McDonald's property at 2:30 in the afternoon. Thankfully, the John Pritchard's kids were in school. This intersection had to be manned by the police until 8:30 at night. The traffic was halted both north and south for miles, three lanes deep, back to Kimberley in the south. Thankfully, during this period, there was not a call for an ambulance or fire truck, where the results could have been disastrous for all our area, including Edgewood Estates. To our knowledge, this is the third time that signal box has been demolished in an accident. Fire and ambulance services are in jeopardy when seconds count. Henderson Wellams is our only ingress and egress, making it more imperative. Safety should be crucial. We would like council to order a study that paid particular attention to the safety and movements of pedestrians, as was ordered for less congested intersection, which was Springfield-Henderson Highway. That study counted the pedestrian traffic for 8 hours in all crosswalks. Also, statistics for the collision history and the vehicle-pedestrian collisions were documented. Council has supported us in the past, but we would appreciate this study being implemented before any further discussions are made. A few other things I'd like to give kudos to Councillor Thomas for her concern on the shadowing on the bridge. Just the thought of some cars wiping out or spinning out of control at 80 kilometers an hour just makes me nauseous. I'd also like to say about the, I don't understand how a traffic report could say a half second, 2 second delay. I still sit at Springfield for 5, 6, 7 lights trying to turn on from Springfield right onto onto Henderson Highway to get to go down Wellams Lane. And it's, I ended up cutting through Safeway, like somebody else mentioned, which is not a good idea either, but it's don't have much choice. I'm curious about the cost of the apartments that the seniors are going to be offered in the new blocks. Seniors are on a fixed income, so the people hoping to move in from the old Edgewood Estates into the new Edgewood Estates, I'm wondering how much they're going to be paying more. And I'm also wondering why there's still always a sign that says apartment for rent on top of the Wellams Lane building. It's been there. They're saying apartments for rent, so where are all these people who are looking for rent? I was offended by the man who said that we have silly complaints or we don't know what we're talking about. As I said, I live there every day. I come and go, and I know what it's like, so he can't tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. I think that's it.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Perper. Are there any questions? No? Thank you, Ms. Perper. Thank you very much. Mr. or Mrs. Ermitt, I mentioned your name earlier. Do you just wish to be registered in opposition? Okay, thank you. Bill, I've got two people here, Bill Kubik and Laurella Bergen. Laura Lynn Bergen. Registered in opposition? Okay, thank you. Gordon and Marianne Jones. Registered in opposition? Thank you. Jake Cron, thanks. Registered in opposition? Okay, thanks, Mr. Cron. Michael and Noreen Witt.
I promise it keeps us short, seeing it so late already, but there's one thing I want to... My name? Oh, my name is Michael. Michael Witt, and we live in the 60 Balms apartment. I was very disappointed by the presentation, and I can promise you that my 13-year-old grandson could have prepared a PowerPoint presentation where everybody could actually have seen it. I was also disappointed by the comments that were made, the kind of border on the untruth. Okay, my wife and I'm a senior, my wife obviously is not. Okay, we drive to work every morning and leave Valens Lane at about 7:45. In our own cars. When we leave the parquet, we have to line up to get out. When we come back at 5:00 in the afternoon, we have to line up to get back in. So whoever did the so-called traffic studies, let me leave it at that, okay? The other thing I'm concerned with is the school, definitely. I'm surprised that it has, and some people have finally brought it up. Okay, and finally, I like the idea of a land transfer. I've thought about this quite often. But to ask you in closure, there are 12 families that live in the three-bedroom apartments. I know this is a minority, okay, but we are one of them. And we have lived there, like the other people, most of them 10 and more years. I would like the corporation to explain to me what happens to us when they eliminate our home.
We're on the overhang, which is the second phase. It's sort of a cavalier attitude that Mr. Rankin spoke about, that the overhang, which has between the two 60 and 70 Wellams Lane, is sort of irrelevant. I'm sorry, that's my home. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Rita Cron, register in opposition. Okay, thank you. Jim Karam, did you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to say, the gentleman that gave us a presentation, it's Jim Karam from 70 Wellams Lane. The gentleman that gave us a presentation at the very beginning, he mentioned at the last presentation they gave us, or the last time we had the meeting, you guys voted against it. Well, at the second meeting, which I guess is the forward motion, all of a sudden, it was forward. Now, I understand that one of our councillors couldn't make that meeting. Well, please, don't let it happen again. The other thing, as the gentleman was talking about, they call it the links between the 60 and 70 block. Well, I'll tell you, if they start pulling that down, you'll find a lot of apartments empty because the seniors will have died. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Crum. Helen Chapman? In opposition? Okay, thank you. Marie Hales or Hallis? Marie, rep in opposition? No? Okay. Janice Kushner?
Janice Kushner, 74 Tamarind Drive. I just have one request, and that is that this is the fourth meeting. At other meetings, and As a consequence of that, I know a lot of my neighbors are not here. The apathy is great. It's just like it's going to be carried through. Why should we bother? I would just ask that you try to recall all of the lists of petitions that have been given to you in previous times. People have just lost energy in this. The opposition is still out there. And the other thing is, please, if you have to consider anything, don't start ruining North Kildonan with 22-story buildings.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? No. Karen Pelinuk, register in opposition. Thank you. Don Bellamy and Gladys Bellamy? Bellamy? Are you here? No? Okay. John Reimer, register in opposition. Thank you. Cornelius register in opposition. Thank you. Deb and Glenn Horischuk.
Deb Horischuk at 30 yes. Appleton.
Thank you.
I've lived there for about 19 years, and we brought up our five children there. And I think people are forgetting about Appleton a bit. I know people have said there's a lot of children. Well, I have a lot. There's young children coming into the neighborhood, and it's atrocious the speeds that they come down the street at all hours of the day, not just at evenings and whatever when the kids are out, at all hours of the day. And like that was said before, there's no sidewalks, and I think that speed bumps, no right turn on Appleton, something to eliminate them coming into that little niche there. Off of Henderson Highway, there's in between Springfield and Wilms Lane, there's a little, you can do a little U-turn there, maybe no U-turn, because that blocks the traffic also. I work. I can wait near Edison to come into Wilms Lane. Sometimes I try to go down back ways to get home. It does take a long time, and this is without the extra 400 suites. My husband's a jogger. He jogs in the morning. There's always cars parked on Wilms Lane, people visiting. Maybe the seniors, maybe not the seniors. There's more than just seniors living in that block. We have family that lived there before. So I think you have to take that into consideration.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Mildred Lukowicz, register in opposition. Thank you. John Burton, register in opposition. Randy Kushner,
thank you. You've been very patient listening to us all. I've got a few more words I'd like to say. I was here at the meeting when we had the informal meeting of the developer along with city people, and we told them that our concern was that there was too dense, and they were proposing 320 apartments, they told us when we were sitting here today. So they took our concern about density and proposing 320 apartments and then increased it by 80 to 403 apartments. We told them that that was going to affect our property values. Well, I can tell you that I live on Tamarind Drive, 74 Tamarind. Two houses have been sold this past week. Just after the notices went up, the houses went up, and those two houses have been sold. When we look at the proposals today, if the proposals are going to proceed, and I hope they are not, we have to make sure that that footprint stays that way, because if the buildings start moving back the way they were in some other configuration, it'll really screw up the neighborhood. It's already going to screw up the neighborhood because you're bringing in 600 to 800 more people than there were in there in the past. Now, we're looking at the number of people that said, well, we need more apartments. There are 694 names on the list. And I wonder where the other 686 are. Only 8 have spoken in favor of the project, so 686 maybe don't care that much after all. Well, why aren't they here? When you look at the concern about buses, too, the city planner who's sitting over there was at this meeting. He presented, and I went up to him and asked him afterwards, and it is part of the city plan that if these apartments go ahead, that there will be a transit bus going down Wellams Lane to the apartments to service those apartments. That is really going to cause problems with the children that are running around there and create extra traffic hazards that we have. Now, I'm a senior, you know, and I guess I have to laugh a little bit at this traffic report because they said there would be a one-second delay when the seniors move into Wellams Lane. Well, these days, it's taken me 1 second to even find the gas pedal when the light turns green, so I think it's going to take longer than that. So I think that this traffic projection, they're assuming that there's going to be seniors on there. They're making a projection that the seniors aren't going to have cars. And so it seems to me that this traffic report, this traffic projection, is at best a guess based upon an assumption. And both of that is not very sound science. So I'd ask you to turn down the proposal once again.
Okay. Any questions? No. Thank you, Mr. Kushner. Thank you. Pearl Ring. Register in opposition? Okay. Mr. and Mrs. Eln? E-Y-L-N? Eln? Register in opposition? Lorraine Kissel and Jack Kissel? Register in opposition? Thank you. Alistair and Wilma Wark? Register in opposition? Audrey Gessner, would you like to speak, Audrey? Thanks.
Yeah, I hope I'm not going to be too nervous. I'm a senior, Audrey Gessner. I live in 60 Wellams Lane. I'm speaking for all the people who walk. The traffic is my main concern because I walk every day, every season of the year. And in the winter, you have to walk on the road. The city does a pretty good job of cleaning the sidewalk, but it's not always passable. You get a little path, but you know, it's hard and it gets icy. So, and when I've tried to cross to Safeway, sometimes people making the left-hand turn off of Wellams Lane, I can honestly say I have nearly been struck twice. So I just wanted to speak in favor of the people who walk, and there are many of them, and they walk the walkers, which I don't yet, but someday I guess. Anyway, I'd like to know what day they did that traffic report. I heard that it was done in August in 2008 on the Monday long weekend. So if that's true, there definitely wouldn't be much traffic there then.
Thank you. Norman Dietrich. Okay. Register in opposition. Thank you, Norman. Frank and Karen Fazio. And the next person I'll be calling is Victor Metter.
Good evening. My name is Frank Fazio. I live at number 58 Tamarind Drive. I wanted to just reiterate a couple of points, and then I have one that I think was missed. Obviously, the traffic is a concern to most people. I guess it will be. I believe it will be an issue. There's 400 more suites that are going to be added to the area. I am concerned about a couple of things that were mentioned. One is the presenter mentioned that there's something like 120 vacant spots in the current apartments. I'm just curious why we have at least a dozen or two cars parked on Wellams Lane every day, year-round, and those cars, in fact, there's another half a dozen that are parked on Tamarind. So I'm curious as to why these cars are parked on the street when there's 120 vacant spots. Secondly, I'd like to point out that the neighborhood has changed in the last few years. One of the people who spoke a few moments ago mentioned that two houses went up for sale and sold very quickly. We're not sure if that's because of the apartment changes. It could be just a coincidence, but I'm guessing that they're probably laughing all the way to the bank right now. Lastly, I guess it is to do with the process. It is supposed to be a transparent process. Obviously, we missed the memo that was issued about the meetings, the earlier meetings. I did not hear about any meetings. The first that we heard of this particular one was last week when the city notified us, and also the sign at the end of the street. So I'm concerned that A, it's not a transparent process completely, and I'm also really worried that despite your efforts in the past and probably I'm hoping that again that this will be overturned again in the future. We do have a requirement for apartments, but do they all have to be jammed into the corner of Wellams Lane? Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? No, thank you, Mr. Fazio. Karen Fazio, registered in opposition. Thank you. Victor Metter, registered in opposition. Thank you. Adolf and Darylyn Reinfort, registered in opposition. Thank you. Zenin Rosalowicz, registered in opposition. Thank you. Chris Mayer, registered in opposition. Oh, okay. Sorry, he was from the other hearing. We found that. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Right on. Anne Friend, registered in opposition. Thank you. Anne DeFair, registered in opposition. Mary Ginter, registered in opposition. Okay. And if you wish to speak, just let me know and please come forward. Eva Mann, registered in opposition. Thank you. Rita Siposh, registered in opposition. Thank you. Ted and Sophie Garris, registered in opposition. Thank you. Lydia Kaler, registered in opposition. Lita McDowell, registered in opposition. Thank you. Christian Asseltine, Christian Asseltine. And the next person I'll be calling is Kate Kaler.
Good evening. My name is Christian Asselin, and I represent 39 Esser Avenue. A couple of rebuttal points before I get to the statement that I had prepared for this evening. Specifically, to Devonshire Properties, as it's been said, never consulted the neighborhood as a whole, so their comment that the neighborhood was in agreement is a farce. Devonshire Properties also made a comment about ownership of the back lane. In all honesty, they have no claim to ownership. The city of Winnipeg has been maintaining that lane for the past number of years, everything from snow clearing to maintenance of the lane itself by providing grading it, by providing gravel to help the vehicles pass in. And the Devonshire Properties hasn't done a single thing to maintain their portion of the lane. So their claim of trespassing, in a way, is a farce. It's a use it or lose it. They can't claim that it's theirs now. And lastly, to the people who are saying that they're looking for apartment blocks in this area, I've lived in many apartments and communities in the city. I've had no problem with them. So shouldn't these supporters. They should go live somewhere else. There's lots of spaces elsewhere. So as I said, I represent 39 Esser, one of the homes that is immediately impacted by the construction of this monstrosity. I am impacted most by the possible construction of the offshoot lane as the garage would face its entrance. To begin with, the lane would increase the potential for property damage as drivers race to use the lane, avoiding the eventual traffic snarls on Wellams, and I can foresee someone on an icy day not paying attention, locking their brakes, and smashing into my property. The construction of this offshoot lane hasn't taken into account that it creates a blind corner. The property owner next to Edgewood Estates has a fence, and you cannot request this person to take it down in order to create increased safety and increased sight lines. And the back lane itself is not designed for continual high traffic use. While it has been proposed that the city pave the lane, it is not wide enough to handle the traffic that could take advantage of it. As it is, when two vehicles encounter each other, it becomes a very difficult task to pass each other, and that happens only occasionally now. I can only imagine how difficult it will become when cars use the lane daily, and don't tell me that the city can mandate each vehicle to use main streets. I can also foresee safety measures taken by the city or the developer in the form of exterior lighting on this new through lane. This lighting would greatly increase the pollution in my area and will ruin the overall look, feel, and makeup of the area. Also, using this through lane as a way to reduce traffic pressures put on Wellhams is ridiculous. Esser Avenue is not designed as a feeder street. It's a standard residential street that allows parking on one side and traffic travels on the other. When vehicles are parked on Esser, it becomes crowded, especially when vehicles have to pass each other. This development could make this unbearable. And as has been mentioned, Esser is also becoming demographically younger. This means families. Children play in the street right now without much risk of fast-moving vehicles avoiding the traffic snarls of Wellhams Lane. I can only imagine the frustration that the residents near Edgewood Estates have with non-resident street parking. Despite the redesign of this development to include 100-plus visitor parking spots, there will be a huge increase in non-resident parking on Esser Avenue. We recently experienced this when the parking facility at Edgewood Estates was recently closed and some 15-plus cars parked on Esser Avenue overnight. 600 new residents aren't all going to pay for parking, and when Wellhams Lane fills up, Esser will be the next location. Where do our friends and families park when they come to visit? If Esser Avenue is also to become the only access to the development from the backside, it is my belief that the city could reclassify Esser as a snow route, which severely limits our ability to park in front of our homes at certain times of years. I can see this being in order to accommodate emergency vehicles called to Edgewood Estates, and I've seen this done in River Heights. Now, this past weekend, I sat outside on my patio, thanks to the warm weather, enjoying the summer evening. One thing I noticed immediately was how dark, how peaceful the neighborhood was, with no cars, no people, and no real noise. This would drastically change if you allow this development to continue. So why hasn't the city or developer investigated alternative ways to redirect traffic to this development? Now, I own a consulting firm for venture capital development, so I understand progress. And as a result, I also travel quite often. And one of my favorite destinations is Minneapolis, believe it or not, because when it comes to the relationship of residential business developments, the Twin Cities find ways to not impact existing neighborhoods by creating exclusive access ways to these developments. So why hasn't the city or developer tried this? The Canadian government is looking for shovel-ready projects. Why not suggest an exclusive on-off ramp system on Chief Peguis and shut down all access to Wellhams? This would eliminate all our traffic on Wellhams and Esser Avenue and appease pretty well everybody. But ultimately, why even allow this project at all? The city's created its own shortage. While many existing buildings in Winnipeg stand empty and ready for sale, why not build there? In fact, there are areas in Winnipeg looking for development. Why not build there? This project has no business in our area. And as it's been said, this committee has to remember that it works for us, not the developer. The numbers mean nothing with lessened shadows, lighted bike paths, increased parking, or tax revenue. Look at this room this evening. Statistically speaking, we represent the immediate community, and it's obvious that no one in the community wants this development, and the third time here shouldn't mean third time's a charm. It means strike out and go home. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Aslan, there's a question. Order, please. Go ahead, Councillor Bawadi.
Thank you very much. Is 39 Esser located east or west of Appleton?
East, I believe.
Closer, no, be west.
Well, it's basically
to the river.
Right by the river.
Closer to the river.
West, sorry.
I've looked at every proposal here and all the detailed reports that we have here. Nothing has suggested that there will be any access from Esser Avenue or the lane to this property. In fact, the servicing that is currently being done down Esser and Kildonan Drive according to the reports here from the Winnipeg Public Service, suggest the exact opposite, that all the servicing vehicles that today do use that back lane, and the ESSER and such, will be using Wellams Lane. My understanding is that there's that lane there that I guess people assume is a public lane owned by the City of Winnipeg, but is in fact on the property of Edgewood today. I think that's just the land swap. I don't think there's – well, I'm convinced here, and I will double-check with public service, but I've asked many a time already in reviewing this document that in no way is there going to be any additional access to this property. I suppose there's the scenario where people could use Appleton to sneak out onto Esser to get onto Henderson, but I don't see that in this proposal.
Then what are the drawings for the pass-through lane in near the end of the property?
Sorry, repeat that.
What are the drawings for then for that pass-through lane that is going to connect basically where Wellams is to the back lane? What's the purpose of that lane then?
Wellams to the back. Are you talking about the pedestrian path maybe?
It's not a pedestrian path as it's drawn. It's
well, I'll confirm with the applicant and the administration, but again, I've...
Because that's what the variance has asked. The variance at the back of the property states that they are looking to add a lane, and from what we've read of the variance, it is wide enough.
Again, it's a public opening of a lane. Like right now, it's not our land, so it's not a lane. What the variance does is it transfers the land to the city. This is my understanding, and I'll confirm this with the public administration. This isn't for me to say, really, but my understanding is it transfers the land to the city, and to make it a roadway per se legally, it has to be legally opened.
But that's
even
not
though it's technically physically open today, it would be legally opened.
Right, but that's what that's not what the drawing states. The drawing states that basically where the turnaround is right now, or the additional outdoor parking, is that it will attach to the back lane of Esser Avenue.
Okay, well certainly I want that confirmed because that's not my understanding at all from what's here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Mr. Aslett. Any other questions? No. Catherine Pleschak? Okay. All right. Thanks. Kate Kaler? Okay. And the next person is Graham Eagleton.
My name is Kate Keller. I live at the 60 block, right in the center where both construction buildings are going to be. I love my balcony. Now, at the last meeting, he said, Rankin, it would be 15 to 18 months for the tower to be built. Today, he changed it already to 18 to 20. Now, I'm going to be in the center. I'm 75 years old. No one, they have given no consideration. We, the people living there, some of them have lived here 10, 20, 30 years, loyal tenants. Thank you. This is what they're going to do to us. We'll have to put up with the noise, the construction, everything. They don't consider us at all. And this is the fourth time now. When is it going to stop? The area residents don't want this. We don't want it. Please consider.
Okay. Thanks, Mrs. Kellett. Any questions? Graham Eagleton.
Thank you very much. I'm the chairman of the Tenants Association.
Your address, sir, if you don't mind.
60 Wellams Lane.
Okay, thank you.
I'm the chairman of the Tenants Association in the buildings. And we meet regularly. We try to put together various ideas, try to get consensus of the building and what the people feel. Now, I think you can hear it, that the people in the buildings do not want this proposal either. I think it's quite clear. And I think if you vote for it, you're saying you don't care about whether these people want to live there in peace. The people on the east side of the buildings, in large measure, lots of them have just said, well, it's another one. And another one. And we're tired of going to the things. Now, we went to a meeting the other day with Mr. Rankin at our building, which was the last get-together idea. I think the idea of bringing them together, which Mr. Baratti suggested would be a very good idea, for the community to be consulted and talked to prior to, or at least in cooperation with what's being done. That has not been done on the first three buildings, and we're tired. We're fed up. I'm 76 years old, whether I look it or not. It makes me, my wife tells me, don't do this. Stay away from it. It's not good for your heart. I have a heart condition. And I have to keep doing this thing over and over again. Now, you're asking me and these other people to take 5 years of construction of their lives, which is just about the end of it. Not much left for us. Show some understanding and appreciation. I hope when you're voting, you look at to see what's happening right in front of you. This is a long meeting. Look at these people. They're tired. They want to go home. Their bedtime is 9. And they're still here. And why are they still here? Because this is pathetic. There is lots of spaces to put buildings on. If the city of Winnipeg wanted to do a swap with some properties that they have, that's fine. Then these people don't lose any investment. And you can put a little park up front and name it Schultzville, if you like, or whatever you want to call it. But my God, leave them alone. I mean, this is the third time we've been at this. Now, at that meeting that they had the other day, you know, I don't know whether Mr. Rankin's going to accept this. Mr. Broady, you said that you didn't think there was going to be any traffic on Esser. Now, Mr. Rankin says there is going to be. Because the other day when they had the meeting, he said when they do phase two, that's the center section building, not the north one, the middle one between the two existing buildings, they will have a logistics problem between the two buildings, and they won't be able to supply the trucks or the material, and the roads won't handle it coming in on the front side. What is the solution? The back side, darling. Absolutely. Where else are they going to go? And if you think the city of Winnipeg and the planners of one thing or another are going to turn around to them halfway into the construction and say to them, oh, I'm sorry, you can't use the road. That's impossible. Once you get it started, that's the way it is, and it's going to go. So if you think SR is not going to be used, it's going to be used. Now, may I point out, we had a proposal at the beginning. And what was the essence of that proposal earlier on? The essence was the roads coming in and going out, the supply, the trucks, the way to get in and way to get out. And I want to tell you right now that this is ridiculous. On a dead-end street, to ask to increase the place by double and then expect in the middle of winter with all the snow piles this high for us to be able to get in and out of there with any possibility of safety. Come on now. If you want to live there, come and live there. It's ridiculous. And I've had it with this. This is the last time I'm coming to your procedures here. Because these people are just damn greedy. That's all it is to it. And besides that, in the buildings themselves, and I have a paper to give to you so that you have it, and I registered it beforehand, all the things that need to be done in the buildings at the present time, because these developers are also landlords. And the buildings now need a lot of work. And I mean a lot of work. The elevators are no good. Half of the construction in underneath, you have cracks right through the beams, the cross beams going in there. There's mold all underneath the carpets here and there, and they don't fix it. They just leave it. Now, these are not good people doing those sorts of things. Now, if they're going to go ahead and just ride it over and say, well, we don't want to spend the money, well, how's it going to be any different with the new buildings? And it's a reward, isn't it? For doing what? Now you say, well, okay, so that's fine, but I pay $1,000 a month to live there. Now that's my choice. But what does that amount to? $12,000 a year to have all that that they don't bother to do anything about. I've got mold in my bathroom. They don't come. They don't do anything about it. They've been told a number of times. So come on. Look at them.
All right, Mr. Eagle. Thank Eagleton. Any questions? No. Thank you. Joanna Bremen. Joanna Bremen. Register in opposition. Yeah, thank you. Robert Duncan. Robert Duncan. Register in opposition. Thank you. Isney Gallimore. Register in opposition. Isney Gallimore. Katie Forster. Katie Forster, register in opposition. MNG Segstro. Segstro, register in opposition. If you could state your name and address, please.
Marshall Segstro of 70 Wellams Lane. I have a question for the city planner. Is it possible that the property, some of the property of Wellams Lane be swapped for city property? We would like an answer to that, please. Thank you.
Okay. You want to answer, John? Do you want to answer that? Well, no. The question is has the city been approached to swap the land, or can that by the developer at this point? And I'm sure the developer will add that in his comments, I hope.
I haven't been involved in any kind of discussions.
We're just turning the mic on.
Okay, my apologies. I haven't been involved personally in any kind of discussions like that in terms of swapping city land with the developer's land.
Okay. Well, it'll be a question we'll also ask the developer if he's approached the city. Pardon me?
What's that? Yeah, beyond, yeah, there's swapping in terms of the back lane for a piece of land in the Chief Pegasus Trail right away. That type of land swapping the city does, usually small parcels of land. We own a lot of park space and small remnants and lots in older neighborhoods from tax sales that we sometimes swap or sell.
Did you have another question, Mr. Singh?
Yeah, what I'm referring to really is that the developer gives the city part of the 32 acres to the city, and the city gives the developer another spot anywhere else in the city. And they call that piece that the developer donates to the city, they can name that a park, they can call it the Wyatt Park, they can call it the Brovati Park, or any other name.
Yeah.
But it's just a swap of, say, 16 acres.
No, I understand your question. And Mr. Winthrop has said no, to his knowledge, no. Now, the other question we will ask, the applicant has an opportunity to come back up here and speak again after everybody else has spoken. We'll ask the applicant whether he has approached the city, because at the end of the day, the property owner has to be willing to swap land. We can't force them to swap land. So they have to be willing to swap land. So we'll ask them whether they've approached the city on this idea of swapping land as well. It's okay. One of the questions I made a note of.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Sandra and Zane Luku, registered in opposition. Thank you. Anna Penner of 60 Wellams, registered in opposition. E. DeLalo, registered in opposition. David Harris, hi.
David Harris, 38 Claus Bay.
Thank you.
I guess I have a couple things that I'm not sure if they've been really touched on or not. There was some sort of mention by the developer that the, I think number four, is going to impact some, I didn't quite understand it, but some sort of a sewage treatment type. Sorry, I'm not talking to this. Okay, there was some sort of very brief mention of the site number four on the side closest to the bridge impacting some sort of sewage type treatment thing. I didn't really quite understand it myself. I'd just like to have the council maybe, you know, ask for some more details on that. And I'd like to know if the city, they talked briefly about they had worked with planning to work around that or something. I'd like to know what that is, what's going to happen there. It seems kind of relevant. The riverbank impact, some people have mentioned. I don't know if the city's done anything on that. I'd like to hear about that as well. One of the intersections that no one's really brought up is the intersection of Claus Bay and Wellams. There are no sidewalks on Claus Bay, and there is no sidewalk running along the portion of Wellams between Claus Bay's exits and the Henderson Highway. There are not a lot of families, but there's some families on Claus Bay, and there's also a lot of families in the apartment blocks right on behind the McDonald's there. Every morning I go to work, I take the bus, and I have to cross Wellams from Claus there. There's other kids crossing there, obviously, to go to school. It's totally uncontrolled. I have to basically find a spot and run to get across during, I go at 8:15. I can't imagine that's going to get easier. I'm pretty able-bodied. I can get across relatively well. I don't know about the kids. That doesn't seem very safe. So I don't know what the city thinks of how they're going to deal with that. If they put a stop sign there, it's just going to make traffic worse. If you put a crosswalk there, no cars are moving at school time. Kids are going to be walking across on the crosswalk every 2 seconds. So I don't know what the answer is to that. It seems like a logistical problem to me that it sounds like no one's thought of. The reason Wellams backs up in the morning rush hour is that there's a no right turn on red. And so people duck down the back lane there or Appleton to escape on Litz or SR. And so while many people are saying it doesn't seem like the council understands why people are driving up Litz and SR, that's why. You have to sit there for the light. Even if there's only three cars in front of you, you got to sit there. A lot of people already cut it. Whether they would need to or not, whether it would be one light or two, people do it. And there's going to be more people doing it, whether it's valid or not. It's going to be more traffic on those other streets without sidewalks, and especially in terms of Appleton. And I guess what it comes down to for me is, where is the city planning in this? We've seen a lot of planning from the developers. I actually they've done some decent work in rearranging the buildings in terms of how they're going to look and not overshadow some of the other things. They've obviously put a lot of thought into this. They've been doing this for years now, coming out, trying to get this thing through. And yet I see nothing from the city coming back and saying, you know, people are talking about land swaps, and the city planner says, yeah, we haven't talked with them about that. Why not? Henderson Highway is full of empty lots and vacant buildings from the Disraeli, where it meets Henderson Highway, all the way to about McLeod. Why not try and see if we can put some more buildings in there? Propose them, come up with something, or even tell us that you've even thought about it. It just sounds like, oh, the developers are presenting us with a way to make some money, and we think it might not be bad. Where's the planning in this? There's no planning. We need to increase density in the city for sure. Why are we doing it 7 kilometers from downtown? Why are we not increasing density closer to downtown the way most cities do it? We want to revive our downtown, so we build a bunch of complexes 7 kilometers out where people will drive into the city. None of it really makes a whole lot of sense. I can see where the developers are coming from. They've got a great plan for them. I don't know where the city is coming from. It seems like there's no plan from them. So that's just what I want to say.
Okay, Mr. Harris, just Councillor Berwati has a question.
You suggested no sidewalks at all in Wellams Lane. Again, just by my memory, and I did a quick search on Google Maps satellite imagery on my BlackBerry here. Is there not a sidewalk on the entirety of the north side?
You have to cross to get to that from the south side, which is okay. Where all of those apartment buildings, like, I don't know if they're called apartments, or they're like two or three story high things right on.
Yeah, I know the ones you're talking about, yeah.
And the Claws Bay where I know right, there's a lot of kids. Okay. I have a young son that's going
to
be crossing.
You'd
there.
Have to cross mid-block, okay.
Yeah.
The other issue is if this were to proceed, do you think installing a series of speed humps on Appleton would be a way to mitigate traffic that doesn't want to wait for the red?
I don't pretend to know that. I just would like the city to be doing some sort of studies on that. I'd leave it up to the residents of Appleton to, I don't live there, I don't see that traffic. I just know that people do cut down there to cut up Litz and Essar because it makes sense. I see them doing it on the back lane behind McDonald's all the time.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Harris. Lisa Manziak? Register not. Lisa Manziak? No. Rudy and Rosanna Enns? Register in opposition? Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else here who's registered for opposition that I have not read out the name? Anybody else registered in opposition? Oh, you have a slip. Do you have a slip, ma'am? Did you fill one out? Maybe she did. Hi. Did you wish to speak? Okay. If there's anybody else who wishes to speak or wants to be registered in opposition, please let us know. Hi, sorry about that. Go ahead. Your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Annette Tarisha. I live on 147 Wellams Lane. I just would like to share with you that last week, coming home from shopping, it was around 3:15. It took me 22 minutes to get from Edison to Wellams Lane. The traffic was so terribly backed up that it took 22 minutes. The traffic is atrocious, and it's a real worry to all of us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. I have now people who've registered for information, and I'll call you by name again, and please identify yourself. Adeline Makowski, registered for information. Reimer Clausen, registered for information. Hazel Boris, registered for information. Okay, thank you. If you wish to speak, you need to come forward to the microphone, please. Rudolph Louise, of Broad Bay, no, okay. William Kavanaugh, okay, you were in here earlier for information, okay. You're here in support, not for information. May Jones. Harry Thiessen. For information, Harry Thiessen. Harold Granke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hi.
The reason I'm here to speak tonight, the residents of the Edgewood Estates are concerned about the increased density of the area and the traffic problems and other problems that it'll create. When looking at the plans the other day, I found that the City of Winnipeg has a density bylaw to prevent overcrowding of developments. And for this site is 864 units, class them as units. On checking the plan, I found a grave error. Whoever did the tabulations of the figures forgot to include the 70 block, which is 212 suites. I passed this information on to the city of Winnipeg just a couple of days ago, and they were going to look into it. But the problems that that creates by increasing it over the density. The other thing that we, no one's mentioned, the management is planning a restaurant on the property almost at the end of Willems Lane to be accessed by the public all over the city. They have a famous restaurant, and it's quite good, and it has a reputation. We see 40, 50 cars coming for the buffet, and they're not residents of the property. The other thing, that'll be parking lot for the, those people as well. They park, they will be able to park in front of the building. There's going to be a hairdresser, which is also in the store now, or in the building now, and they're going to be located for outside access as well. Now, I think there's something wrong with the developing apartment block, but there's also something wrong with building restaurants for people to come in from the outside. I'm not sure what the size of the restaurant will be, but it should be about 80 seating or something of that. They do get a good business. The other thing I want to point out, if you come in there and you look like a senior, they tell you it's a senior's block. If you come in and you look like you're 30, 40 years old, it's open to anybody. And I found out at a meeting they held last week in our basement that I was told it's not a senior's block. So somebody's got to get things straight before and mislead people. And I'm surprised that the number of people that don't even live in the area are coming here and opposing or supporting the project. It's very suspicious to me why this is even happening. As far as the traffic on Henderson Highway, I agree with what the people have said. You come down Henderson Highway from the south, and you go to turn on Willems Lane. There's a backup of cars right over to Springfield Road. So I'm just as guilty as anyone. I make a U-turn in the middle there, opposite where the new police station is, and I go down Esser, and then I go down Appleton. So what the people are saying is correct. And also, one thing that it was surprised me, the 70 block is the smaller of the two blocks, and right in front of our block there is a parking area for handicapped and for residents, visitors. I now see on the architect's plan that they plan to pick up garbage there. So everyone that's facing into this beautiful park-like area are going to be faced with looking at a garbage movement. That may change. I did mention it the other day, too, so that may change. There's also children crossing at the lights there that make it a very bad hazard on Henderson Highway. They take advantage of running across when the stop hands are out there, and they run across the street, and it delays traffic. I've been in this block for 7.5 years, and I have witnessed, actually witnessed, happened to be there when 8 accidents have happened at the corner. So the 1 second delay that the traffic or the planner is talking about, it increases because traffic doesn't move anywhere. So they go down the lane and go out on Litz Place or all those other streets along there. They have to do that. I've taken 2 people to the hospital or their doctors that were hit there. And it is a treacherous thing. And I did work for the Metro Corporation in the Streets and Traffic Department. And I worked with people who did the traffic studies. And there's more involved than just taking a few hours and going and doing a traffic study. I think that I pretty well agree with what the people are saying. And the other thing I just wanted to mention, I was told that there's 500 people on a waiting list. And they call people from the number 1 up to 500. Well, it's strange that people that just come two months ago are already in the block. So I think someone is misleading the manager, or the owner of the properties, because he's expecting all kinds. But I agree with all the work that's going to be going on. It's going to be a real traffic problem and congestion and I personally have asked or encouraged people that I know in their 90s to move into the block. Now, they're going to be mad at me because This isn't designed for that density. The big thing is, if they had discovered the density was not correct, this meeting shouldn't have happened. They should have looked into and straightening it out before we go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Granke. I'm assuming, yeah, you're not registered for information. You're here for in opposition. I think I'll change that. Thank you. Colin Carrier, also registered for information.
Colin Carrier at 70 Esser Avenue. I just moved in March 31st into what I hoped to be and remain to be a quiet neighborhood. So I just want absolute clarity on whether or not I'll be able to drive from Esser Avenue up to Wellams Lane through the apartment complex. And there doesn't seem to be clarity around that. There seems to be a lot of confusion. I'm not sure if council's even sure what the exact plan is for the variance. So I just want absolute clarity on what the impact will be to the lane, whatever that is going to be, and if people are going to be able to get from Esser to Wellams and vice versa.
John, can you answer that question?
On the site plans that the developer submitted, there is no lane going between Wellams Lane and SR or Canonan Drive. There is no connection on any plan I've ever seen that's been submitted to the City of Winnipeg, nor would we approve of any kind of plan like that. Our public works people, as well as the planning department, would be opposed to that. There is a lane being open. It's recognizing the existing lane that is there right now that is a gravel portion of a back lane that connects to Canolan Drive that goes across the applicant's land. The landowner is Devonshire Properties. The back lane, even though it's being maintained by the City of Winnipeg, is actually on private property. That's the only connection of any laneway, is to recognize the existing condition there. There will be no service lane or back lane or roadway being connected between Wellams Lane and SR or Canolan Drive. There is going to be a footpath along the riverbank connecting Canolan Drive up to the Chief Pagos Trail Bridge, and that's about it.
Okay, so then I would like the applicants to, when they go up for their rebuttal, explain exactly what that drawing is then.
Okay, we'll ask him of that. I can't see the drawing myself. I can see.
I can barely see it, but I can.
Yeah,
I can see.
Okay.
It.
Okay. All right. We'll ask for a clarification. Thanks very much. Was there anything else, Mr. Carrier?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. John Eiley or Isle of, and the next person will be Barbara Douglas.
Yes, my name is John Ilg, and I live at 54 Tamarind. Thanks. And it's been very interesting to see the development here. I was at the previous hearing that we had, and I guess I was disappointed with the level of information that we had, and also with the general layout. I'm much happier with what's been presented here. My wife and I, we moved into the community about 2 years ago, and we liked it at that point, and we've grown to really love it. And I know that within a month or two of being there, we said, well, when we have to move out of this house, then let's move into an apartment. But we want to stay at the same spot. We want to stay there. And I guess in that regard, I look at that sort of a development and say, that's a place I'd like to live. And I myself would like the taller building. I just liked having that sort of a view, so I find the whole idea appealing. I guess in terms of my being there for information, I'd like to change that to being in favor of it.
Okay, thank you very much.
I guess two questions that I'd like to ask of the proponents, though. One is the traffic study. I'd like for them to explain how they came up with this 1 second that I'm just very confused about that, and I suspect it's something to do with a general delay that you've allocated over all the seconds of the day. And so if there is some idea as to well, during rush hour, what is your delay? And the other one is that the variance is for less parking. And I think the one major complaint I have about the apartment complex is that there's a lot of parking on our streets, especially when I drive onto Wellams Lane. It's hard to see the oncoming traffic. And I noticed that particularly in the, in April, when they don't park inside, they're parking outside. And so why would they be giving less parking spots than the city requires? So those are two questions I'd like to have answered. Thank you.
Okay. I hope that you've made note of that, the questions. Just looking at the developer, so the applicant. Thank you. Barbara Douglas? Register for Barbara Douglas? No. Bergen M of 14 Litz. Bergen M, register for information. Is there anybody else here registered for information that I have not called upon? Anybody else? No? Okay. Seeing none. Before I call the applicant back up, we'll take a 10-minute break, and we'll be back here in 10 minutes. Thank you.